Amen. We are continuing with our series on lessons from Joseph. Today we are going to look at another interesting topic. The topic today is prosperity is not what you have. It is who you have. You can lose what you have. But if you have the right person on your side, you'll regain what you lost. If prosperity was only what you have, when you lose what you have, you would have lost your prosperity. And that's the mentality that we need to have as the body of Christ. That prosperity is the result of who we have. And today, as we go through the Word of God, this is what we're going to see. That it's really not what you have, but it is who do you have? Who is on your side? Now, as part of the introduction, I just want to say, it is so important for us to forget about our past. Whether good or bad, forget about your past. And start focusing on where you are. When we look at the life of Joseph, and we know what he went through, he had highs and lows. He was loved by his father unconditionally, just because he was born, just because he was the son of his father. He was so loved. He received the coat of many colors as well. That was beautiful, but that was in the past. And what happened? He was thrown into a pit. Left there to die. And later taken out of the pit and sold to his cousins, the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites went on and sold him to Potiphar in a strange land. And the Bible, you'll see today, it says, and God was with Joseph. And Joseph was a prosperous man. So what we're saying is, forget about your past. Look at where you are. Right in Egypt, God says, Joseph was a prosperous man. Give yourself completely to what you are doing. And you'll see God's favor making you succeed. This is important. God will bless everything that your hands find to do. So if you find something to do, do it with all of your heart. Give yourself to it completely. It doesn't matter what it is. Remember, the blessing of the Lord is what will make it great. Now, let's go. Let's start. We're going to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 39. We're going to read the first 6 verses of this chapter. Reading from verse 1. I'm using the King James Version today. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Like I said, this young man had the favor of his father. But unfortunately, at this stage now, he's experiencing what was brought by the jealousy of his brothers. And he sold into slavery. So, this man is in Egypt now, unfortunately. The beloved of his father, the envy of his brothers, he is now in Egypt. He is a slave. His garment of many colors is gone. And when you would look at him, you would not see him as a person that is blessed by God. But you would see him as a person that is experiencing the power of the enemy. And now some of us, will rush and say it is because of his sins that now he is in Egypt. We like saying that. We like saying that God treats us according to our sins. Whereas the Bible says it many times that he does not treat us according to our sins. That's what Psalm 103 says as well. God is merciful towards us. And anyway, the Bible doesn't say anything about this man sinning. But he was brought to Egypt. You can see as well the picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here. A man without sin. A man that came down and suffered. Even though he had not sinned. And the Bible says when he was crucified, it was not because of his sins, but he had to be crucified to deliver us from our sins. So do not look at what happens to you and think that it is the result of God punishing you. Or it's because the devil now has got an opportunity to punish you. Understand that at times, because we live on this planet Earth, some things that we have not control over will happen. What is important is how you respond to those things. And this is what we are going to see in this young man's life, Joseph. What happened to him was not important, but how he responded to what happened to him made all the difference. Now look at this now. Verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Think about this. Has he done anything yet? No. He's in slavery. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So it makes it clear to us that he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the Bible says he was a prosperous man. Do you see yourself prosperous? Just think about this. How do you see yourself? Do you think you are prosperous? Or you think, I only have this and that and that. I think God can still do better. Therefore, I am partially prosperous. I believe that God's prosperity is still going to be seen over my life. I am still going to be prosperous. I want to say to you, if you look at your life like that, you're not looking at it according to the word of God today. This man was a slave, and God calls him a prosperous man. It is not what you have, but it is who you have. Where do I get that from? Check here. Let me read again. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. You are prosperous because of who you have. And it continues to say, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he was still a slave. And the Bible says he was a prosperous man. It is not what you have. Prosperity is not what you have, but it is who you have. Amen. Let's continue reading. Verse 3, it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. So this man, as a slave, serving as a slave, the Bible tells us that his master saw. Do you think his master was spiritual? Was he so spiritual that he could see in the spirit that God is with this man? No. His master saw something. There was something tangible that he could see, that this man is not on his own. This man has a God with him. And the Bible says, and that the Lord made that all he did to prosper in his hand. The blessing of the Lord will be evident over our lives. How will we see it? We will see the prosperity of God showing forth in what we do. Don't think that, as I'm saying, it's prosperity is not what you have, it's who you have. I'm not trying to say to you, then don't look for seeing the prosperity of God in your life. No. Prosperity, the one that is in you, the prosperity in you will become evident in your life, because in everything that you do, the blessing of the Lord will rest upon it. So it's not what you do, but it is who you have. That is what prosperity is. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. This man is finding grace and favor now. He's getting favor from his master. This is a foreign man. He's not an Egyptian. Verse 5, and it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. That is what we carry with us. If we understand who we have, the Bible says, we will even see the blessing of the Lord over the household of the Egyptian that we may be serving. I may be employed. I may be working for an employer who does not know Jesus Christ. But because of me having God on my side, the blessing of the Lord will be evident over my life. People will be able to see the blessing of the Lord over my life. And what will happen? The house of my master will be blessed as well. For my sake. Because that's what the Bible says. Let me start again from verse 5. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly man and well favored. His master came to a point where he said, I'm going to leave everything in his hands. I can trust this man. This is an honest man. I am blessed because of him. So I can leave everything in his hands. I know that he's going to take care of everything well. And the only thing that the master was looking for was is that he eats, he gets his food. He knew that everything was taken care of. That's the favor that we have as the people of God, because we have God in us. We're saying today, prosperity is not what you have, it is who you have. So if you have Christ in you, you will be able to see this happening in your life. That is how it's going to work. So seek to understand who the Christ that is in you, who he is. Seek to find out who really this Christ is. Now, we are busy with the lessons from Joseph. Now let's look at some lessons that we get out of this part now. The first lesson is that Joseph was said to be prosperous while he was a slave. So don't look for what is happening, or don't look at what is happening around you. Understand that you are prosperous because God is with you. And fill your mind with that. See yourself as what? As prosperous. Lesson number 2. You are not prosperous because of what you have. You are prosperous because God is with you. I've already mentioned that one. Number three, your value is not determined by your bloodline or your past experiences, but by what God put in you. And God's purpose for your life will determine your value in this life. Because of God that is in you and the purpose that He has put in your heart, the purpose that He has for your life, that has determined what your value in this life. So do not look at where you are and say, perhaps I am insignificant. I'm just a nobody. I haven't done much. You're missing the point. Your value is not determined by what you do, by your bloodline or your past experiences. It is determined by the purpose that God has for your life. And what is the purpose that God has for your life? Number one is to spread the gospel. And He has called us to different corners. He may call you to be a minister in your workplace. You spread the gospel then. He may call you to be a minister at home as you look after your family. That is what He has called you to do. He may call you to be a minister of the gospel where you will preach the gospel. That's where He has called you to. So now, let then what God has in mind for you determine your value. He decided to express Himself through you in the fashion that He chose, which could be in your workplace, at home, behind a pulpit preaching. All those things do not matter. They don't matter if you just do them without God having led you to do those things. But the moment you understand that this is your calling and you receive that, then you've realized that your value is in God, and it's not the amount of work that you're doing, but it is why you're doing whatever you're doing. Immediately the Bible says you'll be a prosperous person. Praise the Lord. You are like a young prince. You get royal treatment even before you become a king. You know, a young prince never goes hungry. A young prince will never suffer lack. We are not going to say because you're still young, you're still a prince, you're not a king as yet, therefore you must suffer. You must struggle. Experience lack. That never happens. That prince will experience royal treatment no matter where he is, what he is doing at that stage. So God's favor is already on you. So you must look around you. You will see that despite what is not right in your life, there are things that are already working right. Think about Joseph. He was a slave. But what was right in his life? The prosperity of God was resting upon his life. If you keep on cooperating with the favor of God over your life, it will successfully take you to your destiny. God has planned your life already. He knows what He wants to accomplish with your life. But now you need to cooperate then with His favor upon your life. If you do not cooperate with Him, unfortunately, you are not going to experience the destiny that He has for you. Now the question is, how do we cooperate with the favor of God? And we find our answer in Philemon verse 6. The word says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This is Paul praying for Philemon. He says, I'm praying that the communication or the sharing of your faith may become effectual or effective. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Can you see? Your prosperity is not what you have, but it is Christ inside you. He says the way you cooperate with the favor of God is by acknowledging everything that is good inside you in Christ. This is how you'll cooperate with God. The favor of God over your life determines the success in your life. Hence, you have to acknowledge what is in you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it is not what you have, but it is who you have. So inside you, you have that hope of glory. What glory of the Lord do you want to see? Christ is the hope of that glory. So, and as Philemon 1:6 says, your faith then will become effective when you acknowledge what is already inside you. So start focusing on Christ in you, the Christ that is in you. And as you do that, you are cooperating with the favor of God that is upon your life. The favor of God is not conditional, but positional. Now you must remember, Joseph did not choose to be loved by his father. God's favor was upon his life, so that his father loved him so much, with him having not done anything. And the Bible tells us here as well that when Joseph served in the house of his master, he just gave himself wholly, completely, to what he was doing, and the favor of God was seen upon his life. Now when we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, the God who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? So the blessings of the Lord are not conditional, but they are positional. Where are you? Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, you will be able to experience the blessings of the Lord. Check that verse. It says, he freely gives us all things. Freely. Now Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that you have been blessed with all heavenly blessings. So what we need to do then is to seek to know what belongs to us and lay hold of that. If we are blessed with all heavenly blessing or blessings in Christ, we are prosperous. We may not see things around us, but the moment we fill ourselves with this understanding that we are blessed with all blessings in heavenly places, as we take that word and we meditate on that, the Bible says we are acknowledging what is inside us already. And as we do that, what will happen? The Bible tells us we will start seeing the manifestation of the glory of the Lord coming forth. In conclusion, we can see that Joseph was thrown into a pit. He was sold to his cousins, the Ishmaelites. He was sold to Potiphar as a slave in a foreign land. But what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that he was a prosperous man. That is what we hear. So do not look at yourself. Do not look at what is happening around you. Understand that you are a prosperous man, or you are a prosperous woman, because of who you have. You just have to cooperate with it. You may not see prosperity where you are. Christ in you is the hope of that prosperity that you want. Prosperity is not what you have, but it is who you have. Remember that part. So start then acknowledging what is inside you. What is inside you? Christ, the hope of glory. Start acknowledging this hope of glory. As you acknowledge this hope of glory, this Christ will come forth. The Bible tells us that if we meditate on Christ, our prosperity will show up. Where do we see that? We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, as we behold the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So as we behold the Christ in us, we will see that prosperity coming out. So be mindful of Christ who is inside you. Praise the Lord. That's the word that I had for us today. And keep that in mind as we start this week. Go home. Take time to look at yourself and say, all what I have, all what I see around me, this is not prosperity. Prosperity to me is what? Is the God that is inside. I may see some prosperity around me, but it's the result of the God that is inside me. You know, we often forget that even the life that we have, you know, we've got some people and they will tell you that, you know what, I will not give God my money. And you start thinking, but do you believe that there's a God? Yes, I do believe that there's a God. Okay. But you won't give him your money. Yes, no, it's my money. I worked for it. Now, you need then to ask those people, but tell me now, the life that you have, where did you get it from? Who keeps you alive? The skills that you have, where did you get them from? Can you really say what you have is your product? Are you not God's product that is producing what you have? So we must never look at what we have and consider that as prosperity. We must understand that our prosperity is God. And if we keep that in mind, you will see what will happen over your life. Prosperity of God will abound. Because His blessing, He just wants to pour His blessings upon us. He wants to use us. If our focus is in the wrong place, if we are focusing on the things, unfortunately, that's not how we get those things. We get those things by focusing on Christ in us, the hope of those things that we are looking for. And as we behold those things in Christ, then what will happen? Those things will come to pass. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We will have our Holy Communion again today. Why do we always have Holy Communion after preaching the word? For us as the body of Christ, fellowshipping here, it is significant because we claim that we are preaching faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the word that you've had today, we are not saying that you are going to have this word manifest in your life through what you do. But this word is going to manifest in your life because of the finished work of Christ. So whatever that you want, it's the finished deal. God has finished the work. You don't have to still try to get Him to do anything for you. Understand that the work is finished already. So that is the reason why every Sunday, after we've listened to the word of God, we want to have Holy Communion because we want to lift Jesus Christ up high. So I don't want you to leave here thinking that if I can go home and pray hard, God will bring this thing to pass. I don't want you to go home thinking I've got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for me to see this thing happen. I want you to remember that we've got a finished work. Finished work. Jesus Christ did it all for us. So today I want us to receive then the promise of God's prosperity upon our lives. We have God inside us. So we have this prosperity inside us. So we can prosper in everything that we do. The blessing of the Lord can be seen over our lives. Not because of what we do, but because of who we have. So let's receive the word. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your word that reminds us that you are our prosperity, Father. Because of you, we are prosperous. Father, we thank you that your word reminds us that, Lord, we must never look at what is happening around us. As your word says, we must not move by sight, but by faith. So, Father God, we receive that Christ in us is the hope of the glory that we're looking for. He's the hope of the prosperity, us prospering in everything that we are doing, Father. He is the hope of that. So, Father, we thank you that now as we acknowledge Christ, as we take time every day to confess Christ, confess what he has done for us, Father, we thank you that we are acknowledging what is good inside us. And as we do that, the word tells us that our faith then will become effectual. It will be effective. Our faith will produce. So this morning, Father God, right now we declare that the body of Christ Jesus was broken for us. And because his body was broken for us, we don't have to go through the process of taking the punishment for our sins, because his body was punished on our behalf. And Father, we thank you that your word says as well, by his stripes we were healed. Father, we thank you that our healing does not manifest because we do anything, but our healing manifests because we believe what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. And Lord, in Jesus' mighty name right now, we partake of this body of Christ. We receive everything that it produced for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us partake. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful for the covenant that you've brought us into. Lord, you've always entered into covenants with men. And every time when you gave your word, Father, you fulfilled your word. Father, you showed your promises to Abraham. You entered into a covenant with him and many other people as well that entered into covenants with you. You always stood by your word and you brought your word to pass. And today, Father God, we remember the covenant that you made with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant to treat us better than we deserve. The covenant that made everything available to us. Because through Christ, you took away all our sins. You have cleansed us now. And therefore, Father God, we can be partakers of the inheritance that you've put among the saints, which is Christ in us. Father, we're so grateful for this covenant. And Lord, we say today we receive everything that your covenant avails. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for health for our bodies. We thank you for success in everything that we do. We thank you for provisions for all our needs. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and we give you praise. Amen. Let's partake. Praise the Lord. Amen.